Well, good morning. Thank you, Ron. Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. Hopefully you can all hear me okay. Hello, hello. Welcome. And yes, I guess you can call me Rev Lynn. at least I am a licensed minister now with Awakening Together. And so I'm so grateful for that opportunity. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to serve our community. And so without further ado, I'm going to, since you're all greeting each other already, I'm going to start the music for the meet and greet. And let's just take a few minutes to say hello to everyone and let everyone know how much we love them. Yeah, you gotta believe this is so cool for me because it is so groovy. This is the promise of, gosh, you know, how many years, gosh, since I was a kid that this has been all I wanted, right? This has been all I wanted. This has been all I've longed for from the very beginning of my life when I noticed or I realized or I believed or I thought that somehow or the other, you and I were separate. And so, yes, it's so groovy now. You know, that song is from the 60s when I was in school, in high school, or, you know, a long time ago. And yet now people are finally getting together. So we're here. This is Awakening Together. And we are here. Our purpose, our core values, and this is one of the core values that attracted me in the very beginning to Awakening Together. And it is this. I'm going to hopefully be able to post it on the board. And Jay, if you would post the link to our Purpose and Core Values, then people can go and listen to this their own self or read this themselves. But this is my purpose. We trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is the realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. So this morning, my goal, my decision, my thought about what it is that I'm here for, my purpose for being here is to develop that trust in my own inner guidance and to develop that trust in your inner guidance to know that we are the same. And that no matter what our path seems to be, no matter what seems to be happening, we are joined together, and it is up to us to learn to trust one another. And so this is my message today, and this is my purpose today. So I do have a couple of announcements. Yeah, it is perfect, isn't it? Jay had mentioned, next week Jay McCormick will be the minister, and I'm anxious to see what his theme is going to be for the day. So next week at the same time, it will be Jay, one of our other new. And you're going to have Teddy Poppy be your reader next week too. Man, because I have Teddy Poppy being my reader this week too. Hooray. Teddy is going to be very much a part of us. That's wonderful. Double header. Yay. A Tedathon. Yeah. I better learn how to read. I love it. And then the next week after that will be Phil Frisk, who's here in the room, who is one of our founding members of Awakening Together. And, miracles do happen, and boy, I'm seeing them every day. So there's that. We also have some upcoming events that are going to be coming up. Probably the first one that is an Awakening Together event is going to be in May, when we're going to have in Colorado here at the Abbey, which is where we had Miracles in the Mountains, the Conference of the Scribes, right up here from a little bit away from where we live here in Pueblo. We're going to have Diedrich Walsack, and they're going to be coming to do a Choose Again retreat. And that is in May of 2014, and you'll find that on our website as well. And then in September of 2014, we're going to have a Santa Barbara Satsang retreat, which is going to be quite exciting, I think, and wonderful, at which we will have Magdi MD, MB, Timothy Conway, and also Kirtana is going to be the musical guest, and so that's going to be a lot of fun too. And right now, Regina is still in Africa, in India. I just saw she posted a beautiful picture of her with an elephant on Facebook. So if you're keeping up with Regina in India on Facebook, she's having a great time. And yeah, her look was priceless. And she's going to be back in 3 weeks. And so we're just holding down the fort. We are holding down the fort. Yay! Okay, so that is my announcements. Those are my announcements for today. And so I'm going to play an opening song, and then I'm going to do a prayer, and the prayer is going to be based on my opening song. And then, I'm going to be turning the mic over to Teddy Poppy, who's going to be doing our reading for the day. So here is our opening song. This song always makes me cry. So if I'm crying, don't worry about it.
Gonna make a change for once in my life. gonna be real good, gonna make a difference, gonna make it right. And I turned up the collar board, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, without enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw us this week, a broken bottle down, and one of them broke. They follow each other on the window, cause they got somewhere to go.
Change my mind. that's really what it's all about. It's not looking at myself and seeing that I'm guilty for having done anything, because I haven't. I'm innocent. But it's looking at myself and knowing that I can change my mind, that the Holy Spirit will change my mind, and the only problem is that I do not trust. And so, my prayer today, let us just take a moment and join together. And that's my prayer. In this holy instant, let me join with you, my brothers, to see that you and I are not different, that we are not different, we are the same. Holy Spirit, in my heart and in my mind, I'm trusting you to make that change and to help me to see the truth in everyone, to see the Christ in my brother, and to know that he is me and we are the same. When I look in that mirror, what I see is God. What I see is love. What I see may be a face, may be a body, maybe something that seems foreign from heaven. But the reality of it is, it's not a weapon. It's not something I use to try to hurt another or hurt myself. I've given my body to you for communication, Holy Spirit. I've given my heart and my mind that it can be used to join together with my brothers in the sonship. And I make a new vow today. Lisa and Vicky were in here talking last night about the secret vow that we made to keep us apart and to be separate as bodies. And I make a new vow today, Holy Spirit. Today I vow to join with my brother in this holy instant. Today I vow to trust my brothers, to trust my God, and to know that we are one. Amen. And so now I'm going to turn the mic over to Teddy Poppy, and he is my reader for today. So Teddy, if you're ready, the mic is all yours. I think I'm probably wearing the same thing you are. All right, Teddy, the mic is all yours.
Okay, so good morning. We have sound because I could hear it in the next room, and you probably hear it back too. So this morning I'm going to read Lesson 181 from a workbook of A Course in Miracles. Lesson 181, I trust my brothers who are one with me. And there's a little foreword to the lesson I'd like to read as well. So Lesson 181, I trust my brothers who are one with me. And it says, our next few lessons make a special point of firming up your willingness to make your weak commitment strong. Your scattered goals blend into one intent. You are not asked for total dedication all the time as yet, but you are asked to practice now in order to attain the sense of peace such unified commitment will bestow, if only intermittently. It is experience this which makes it sure that you will give your total willingness to following the way the Course sets out. Our lessons now are geared specifically to widening horizons and direct approaches to the special blocks which keep your vision narrow and too limited to let you see the value of our goal. We are attempting now to lift these blocks, however briefly. Words alone cannot convey the sense of liberation which their lifting brings, but the experience of freedom and of peace that comes as you give up your tight control of what you see speaks for itself. your motivation will be so intensified that words will become of little consequence. You will be sure of what you want and what is valueless. And so we start our journey beyond words by concentrating first on what impedes our progress still. Experience of what exists beyond defensiveness remains beyond achievement while it is denied. It may be there, but you cannot accept its presence. So we now attempt to go past all defenses for a little while each day. No more than this is asked, because no more than this is needed. It will be enough to guarantee the rest will come. I trust my brothers who are one with me. Trusting your brothers is essential to establishing and holding up your faith in your ability to transcend doubt and lack of sure conviction in yourself. When you attack a brother, you proclaim that he is limited by what you have perceived in him. You do not look beyond his errors. Rather, they are magnified, becoming blocks to your awareness of the self that lies beyond your own mistakes and past his seeming sins as well as yours. Perception has a focus. It is this which gives consistency to what you see. Change but this focus, and what you behold will change accordingly. Your vision now will shift to give support to the intent which has replaced the one you held before. Remove your focus on your brother's sins, and you experience the peace that comes from faith in sinlessness. This faith receives its only sure support from what you see in others past their sins, for their mistakes, if focused on, are witness to sins in you, and you will not transcend their sight and see the sinlessness that lies beyond. Therefore, in practicing today, we first let all such little focuses give way to our great need to let our sinlessness become apparent. We instruct our minds that it is this we seek and only this, for just a little while. We do not care about our future goals, and what we saw an instant previous has no concern for us within this interval of time wherein which we practice changing our intent. We seek for innocence and nothing else. We seek for it with no concern but now. A major hazard to success has been involvement with your past and future goals. You have been quite preoccupied with how extremely different the goals this course is advocating are from those you held before. And you have also been dismayed by the depressing and restricting thought that even if you should succeed, you will inevitably lose your way again. How could this matter? For the past is gone, the future but imagined. These concerns are but defenses against change of focus in perception, nothing more. We lay these pointless limitations by a little while. We do not look to past beliefs, and what we will believe will not intrude upon us now. We enter in the time of practicing with one intent, to look upon the sinlessness within. We recognize that we have lost this goal if anger blocks our way in any form. And if a brother's sins occur to us, our narrowed focus will restrict our sight and turn our eyes upon our own mistakes, which we will magnify and call our sins. So for a little while, without regard to past or future, should such blocks arise, we will transcend them with instructions to our mind to change their focus as we say, "It is not this that I would look upon. I trust my brothers who are one with me." And we also use these thoughts to keep us safe throughout the day. We do not seek for long-range goals, as each obstruction seems to block the vision of our sinlessness. We seek but for surcease, an instant, from the misery the focus upon sin will bring, and uncorrected will remain. Nor do we ask for fantasies, for what we seek to look upon is really there. And as our focus goes beyond mistakes, we will behold a holy, sinless world. When seeing this is all we want to see, when this is all we seek for in the name of true perception, are the eyes of Christ inevitably ours, and the love he feels for us becomes our own as well. This will become the only thing we see reflected in the world and in ourselves. The world, which once proclaimed our sins, becomes the proof that we are sinless. And our love for everyone we look upon attests to our remembrance of the Holy Self, which knows no sin, and never could conceive of anything without its sinlessness. We seek for this remembrance as we turn our minds to practicing today. We look neither ahead nor backwards. We look straight into the present, and we give our trust to the experience we ask for now. Our sinlessness is but the will of God. This instant is our willingness, one with His.
I think that deserves a moment of silence. Can I say something about that?
You are a guest.
This is really cool because it brought up this lesson I got in the garden about, I don't know, a month or two ago, when it was talking about the consistency of your focus. Can they hear me? Because it is so apparent. All you need to do to have whatever you want is to focus on it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And this lesson is talking about the consistent focus on the recognition of sinlessness or innocence in my brother, and in that practice, that's where these, like, it's like the constant miracle occurs. And he's saying, like, it's not that you're always going to be at peace, or, you know, but this can always be your goal. So whenever a thought comes that's otherwise, if your focus is consistent on sinlessness and you allow for the space for some other awareness to occur, then that awareness comes in. The way it usually works for me is I see something for a moment I think is bad, or that I would see them, and then it goes. And then rather than think I'm seeing something outside of myself, I look for the gist of what I'm seeing in myself. Sometimes it comes very like quickly, and I can forgive it on both ends, because it's neither a sin to express something or to hold this thought, but to recognize the truth about the thought is the total undoing of it, and to recognize the sinlessness, you know, it's just like this complete undoing. To me, that's what this is talking about, and what the miracle is.
You know, I also want to say that if you were here last night and read last night's contemplation, you'll see how this lesson today goes hand in hand with last night's contemplation, in that we're just looking to right now to let go of what's happening in our mind, to free the future from the past. We're not attempting to establish a new future by what we're doing. We're attempting to free the future from the past so a new future can be written, not by us, but by the atonement itself.
You know what Lynn wrote there? All I need to have, whatever I want, is consistent focus. That's more in line with exactly what I got when I was in the garden. I don't know if that's a quote from the course or something.
No, it's
that
not
was
at all.
Like, that was actually, I never can remember words well.
If you consistently focus
on
any one thing,
but I remember getting that,
and
it was so obvious that this is actually the functioning of the brain as we and as we're learning to go into the mind of God and our true mind, but that consistent focus is what we have control over, and that's what this is saying in here. It's saying this is where we have control is what do you want to focus on. All we have to do is not focus on the error. We don't have to focus on the truth, because you can't focus on the truth when you can't see it. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You know, a lot of people want to go to, you know, let me make up a truth, like what I think is true, and focus on that. Like, if I were seeing correctly, I would, you know, and we try to change the picture or the image
or the circumstance of the world. That's what he calls fantasy, yeah.
Right. But it's like, rather than do that, just to remove the focus, like soften the gaze, soften the focus when all you're experiencing is seeing error, it's like, oh, that's not it. So you're not looking at anything. In certain meditations, they have you kind of like close your eyes a little and like half focus on everything, like still look upon everything but without focusing on it, because as soon as you focus on it, you bring that message into your mind as what you want, as what you are choosing. So
and the lesson that you got, because I remember reading your journal, is consistent focus. Anything you put your focus on consistently will come to pass, will be made manifest. So if you put your focus consistently on the truth, then the truth will be made manifest in you and through you.
Right. And it works in the world too. I mean, like if you're going to consistently place your focus
on the world, which is the future or the past, then you're going to get the result of it.
Exactly.
Okay, you guys can have your service back.
How funny. We can have our service back. Thank you so much, Teddy and Melissa. And that's exactly it. It's what Melissa was saying is, you know, I think the same thing that I'm saying. It's, you know, whenever I think I'm seeing something that I don't like, or I think I'm seeing something that upsets me about a brother, I just have to look at myself. I just have to take a look at myself and ask myself, what is the problem here? Because I know for a fact the problem is not you. The problem is not outside of myself. The problem is in my own mind. And so this is why it's so important to be questioning always, why is it that I'm thinking this thought? Why is it that I'm believing this thing about my brother that is so obviously untrue, and yet I'm so convinced of the truth of it because it appears to my judgmental mind that it is true. But the lesson that Teddy was reading, I trust my brother who's one with me. You know, I've been going through this, you know, working on this development of trust, you know, trying hard to develop trust. And all this whole time I've been thinking, I'm trying to develop trust in God. I'm trying to develop trust in a God that I see as being outside of myself. And therefore, I'm incapable of trusting something that is outside of myself. And so when I started realizing that, I began to look at my own thoughts about my brother and recognize that the reason I am not trusting my brother is because I'm perceiving you as being outside of myself as well. And yes, Kathy, using what's going on, I'm using my brother to attack myself and keep me from God's love. So it's so important to remember to actually trust my brother, who is one with me. And I'm looking at chapter 17, where Jesus says to us, you are very new in the way of salvation and think you have lost your way. Your way is lost, but think not this is lost. In your newness, remember that you and your brother have started again together. And take his hand to walk together along a road far more familiar than you now believe. is it not certain that you will remember a goal unchanged throughout eternity? For you have chosen but the goal of God, from which your true intent was never absent. And so this is where I came to understand, is that trusting my brother, he is who walks with me. When Jesus says, you know, if you knew who walked with you, then fear would be impossible. And it's true. If I knew that you, my brother, the Christ, walk with me, not the stranger, not the person who I've accused of being separate and outside of myself, not the person that I'm afraid of, if I just knew who you are and who I am, I would never be afraid. Yes, your true intent was never absent. We've never forgotten who we are. We've never forgotten what we are. We've never forgotten or made a choice that could have kept us out of heaven or changed God, changed what God made, changed heaven. Never could have happened. Impossible. Absolutely. So here again in chapter 17 he says, you undertook together to invite the Holy Spirit into your relationship. You may not remember this. I know I didn't remember that I had come together with my brothers and said, the Holy Spirit is going to be in charge of our relationship now. But that was done. That was a vow that I made to you, my brother, that you and I would always be together and the Holy Spirit would be in charge of our relationship. You could not have entered otherwise. Although you may have made many mistakes since then, you have also made enormous efforts to help him do his work, and he has not been lacking in appreciation for all you've done for him, nor does he see the mistakes at all. Have you been similarly grateful to your brother? Have you consistently appreciated the good efforts and overlooked mistakes? Or has your appreciation flickered and grown dim in what seemed to be the light of the mistakes? Perhaps you are entering upon a campaign to blame him for the discomfort of the situation in which you find yourself. And by this lack of thanks and gratitude, you make yourself unable to express the holy instant and thus lose sight of it. And so this is what it is. It's my lack of even noticing the work that you have done. My lack of giving you credit for having chosen all the good choices that you've ever made. Jesus tells us in the Course that every good thought, everything that I've ever done, thought, given, has been saved in heaven. And that my awakening, my joy, is a result of your thinking of me, your love. It is all of our good thoughts. It is all of our love. It is all our decisions to join that brings us together. And you know, the realizations and the awakenings that I'm having right now are coming from work that has been done, you know, millennia before, from Jesus. For gosh sakes, look at all the things that came from Jesus having made the choice that he made. He saved the world, saved us. And Melissa says, what does that mean, judging good choices you have made? Let's see, where does it say that? I'm not seeing it, but I'm sure it's in there. and Teddy says, the Holy Spirit was unnecessary before the separation. The Holy Spirit is God's answer to the separation. The unconscious decision for separation made by us as brothers is what is called the Holy Spirit into the relationship. The idea of separation is the origin as answer of the Holy Spirit. And, oh, thank you, Jay. and that the whole idea that we need to be saved is based on my idea that I have been lost. It's my idea that I've been lost. And so let's look at what it says here in chapter 22. Forsake not now your brother, for you who are the same will not decide alone nor differently. Don't even imagine, this is my commentary here, do not even imagine that your brother has any thought in his mind other than salvation. This is how I trust my brother. I know that all my brother wants is the same thing I want. Our mind is not different. We want salvation. Either you give each other life or death, either you are each other's savior or his judge, offering him sanctuary or condemnation. This course will be believed entirely or not at all. Have you ever wondered where that line is? It is right here. Either you will believe this entirely or not at all. For it is wholly true or wholly false and cannot be but partially believed. And you will either escape from misery entirely or not at all. Reason will tell you there is no middle ground where you can pause uncertainly, waiting to choose between the joy of heaven and the misery of hell. Until you choose heaven, you are in hell and misery. And where is heaven? It is in my brother's mind, in my brother's heart. Heaven is here where we are, where you are. This is why it's so important that we get together. This is why it's so important that we decide to join. Because unless we decide to join, we will remain in our minds separate from each other. And if you and I are separate, I will be afraid because I cannot trust you. The memory of God shines not alone. What is within your brother still contains all of creation, everything created and creating, born and unborn as yet, still in the future or apparently gone by. What is in him is changeless, and your changelessness is recognized in its acknowledgement. The holiness in you belongs to him, and by your seeing it in him returns to you. All of the tribute you have given specialness belongs to him and thus returns to you. All of the love and care, the strong protection, the thought by day and night, the deep concern, the powerful conviction, this is you, belong to him. Nothing you gave to specialness but is his due, and nothing due him is not due to you. And Jay says, we must join, we must be together. It is the only way forward to awaken, to atone, to enlighten. If I want to develop trust, if I want to be able to trust my brother who's one with me, if I want to be able to trust God, if I want to be able to trust myself, the only way that I can do it is to trust my brother. Is to join with my brother, is to see the Christ in my brother. And I have one last couple of quotes from the Course that I want to discuss. Chapter 31 from the Savior's Vision. You cannot recognize your evil thoughts as long as you see value in attack. You will perceive them sometimes, but will not see them as meaningless. And so they come in fearful form with content still concealed, to shake your sorry concept of yourself and blacken it with still another crime. You cannot give yourself your innocence, for you are too confused about yourself. But, I love this, but should one brother dawn upon your sight as wholly worthy of forgiveness, then your concept of yourself is wholly changed. Your evil thoughts have been forgiven with his because you let them all affect you not. No longer do you choose that you should be the sign of evil and of guilt in him. And as you give your trust to what is good in him, you give it to the good in you. I trust my brother. And the way that I can trust my brother without fear is to see that he is wholly worthy of forgiveness. Jesus is not saying you have to totally forgive him. You have to look at your brother and recognize that he has done nothing wrong. He is wholly worthy of forgiveness. And when I can look at my brother and see that no matter what my evil thoughts have condemned, no matter what my decision to judge have caused in spite of the reality of what's before me, when I can look at my brother and I can see that he is wholly worthy of forgiveness, then I will no longer see the evil, and I can trust him because I can trust the Christ that's in him. And when I trust the Christ that's in my brother, I can trust my brother and I trust myself. And that is the development of trust. It has nothing to do with deciding that I want to trust God. There isn't a single one of us in this room who wouldn't say, yes, I want to trust God. But to trust my brother, to look at my brother and say, brother, you have never sinned. You are the same as me. I trust my brother who is one with me, and I choose this moment to join with you in love and not in fear. And so now it's time for our open meditation and contemplation. And I'm going to play another song. And at this time, Jay will pass the basket. and we will ask for any donations that people might feel willing or would care to give. The donations go to keep our organization running, really. And keep the radio running, which I do have right here. And so I'm going to play a song for this meditation. And thank you all so much. All right. Thank you all so much, and God bless you for your beautiful love, and oh my gosh, I'm just so happy. So now I'm going to open the mic up for open sharing. And so if anyone feels inspired to say anything about the message of the day or anything else that they would like to share about, please put your hand up, and I would be glad to turn the mic over to you. Thank you, Deb Gary.
Hey, can you hear me? Okay, I just wanted to say, woohoo! Thank you for today. It was wonderful. Thank you so much. I just love this coming together thing. Thank you so much. That was all I wanted to say. Woohoo! Dropping the mic.
Yeah, me too. Woohoo! thank you, Deb. That was Deb Gary, and I'm going to turn the mic now over to you, Jay.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say, too. Woohoo! No. I just really like the message about joining and the energy you put into joining, and how important, really the only way it is for us to move forward in our awakening process is together, because we're all together anyway. And it just requires that trust. The dove just recovering from his surgery has had enough energy to type the word trust on the board. you know, T-R-U-S-T, trust. I trust my brothers who are one with me. I need project not anything but anything. Nothing, no projection. Trust, trust, trust. So, and thank you, Teddy and Melissa, for your reading and your thoughts. And it just kind of ties in with what I was sharing, too, about the past and the future, and how this hazard that paragraph 4 of Lesson 181 talks about is this involvement with my past and future goals. I mean, that's so interesting that I felt guided to talk about that this morning, and that is what Lynn had planned for her sermon. I mean, this is just an illustration of, like, how perfectly it's all orchestrated and timed by Spirit. I love that. And there is no more. There is no future goal that's going to make me happy. There's just now, just like Ron, sitting in that peace and that bliss, just being here now, just like Jim Dunn was talking about, like Lynn's whole sermon was about. And I loved your music, Lynn, and everything is a wonderful service. So, love you, Lynn. Love everybody.
Thank you, Jay. Yeah, no kidding. Isn't it wonderful? It is wonderful, because I think that as we come together, and this seems to be just the way it seems to be cycling right now, is that even you're in Chicago and I'm in Colorado, and Teddy and Melissa are in California, and you know, God only knows where all the rest of you are, and actually God does know where we are all are, but because we've never left our home, but you know, still, wherever we are and whatever we may be thinking, yeah, here is where we are. Here where we are, this is it. This is it. And there's no other time. there's no, you know, in my next lifetime or when I get my stuff together or when I win the lottery and I don't have to work anymore there's none of that stuff. All it is now. All we need is now. And being in that now together, we are one mind. Yeah, or when Teddy finally follows the rules I've made, yeah. That's funny, Melissa, isn't it? Because what are those rules? Yeah. I mean, do I love rules more than I love Teddy? I don't think so. That's a silly thought. This is a silly thought. And all I have to do is ask the question, what's it for? You know, what's the purpose of doing that? What's the purpose of doing any of this? If it's not to bring us together and to join together in one, then it's not a real purpose. It's nothing. Yeah, we are under no laws but God's. Exactly, Deb. And Jeff Norbury says there are a million ways the world could go, and none of them have to do with who you are as God created you. Baraka. Interesting. That's true. And Melissa says, thank God what I thought I wanted couldn't happen. There is a true, trustworthy purpose for everything I experience. And that is very true. Every single thing I experience, the purpose of it is to remember God. And thank God that I couldn't forget him. And no, he's not that Bosnian silent guy. That guy is actually not Bosnian, but Croatian. Yes, when I got what I thought I wanted, it was hell. It was hell to think that I'm separate from you. It's hell to think that I have to be afraid of you. It's hell to imagine that somehow or the other we shouldn't be together. And it's heaven to know that we are. So does anybody else want to share? We still have a few minutes of open mic for people to share whatever they want to say. Or you can write it on the board. I'll read it. Let's see. Who else is here? Christian? Kenneth, the anonymous beekeeper? Nikki, I see you here. Yes, Deb, hanging on to grievances and needing to be right is making a hell for myself to live in. That is absolutely true. Anybody else want to put up their hand? Hello, my angel. I love you. All right. Well, without anyone else wanting to share, I guess I'll go into... yes, thank you so much. I'll go into... I think I might play that song again. I was going to play another song, but I think I might play that song again because I love that song. The Minister's Gratitude is what this is called. And so I'm going to play a song for the Minister's Gratitude. I think I might play that song. I love that song. Isn't that the greatest song? I remember that song from my I remember that song from my my high school days, and man, what a joy. Yeah, the anonymous beekeeper is Kenneth. And he's been coming in the room. I'm so grateful for him. He actually is a beekeeper. And being as Melissa is a bee, a honeybee, well, we'll see. All right, here we go. Here's this song again by request. You can all get up and dance. Hug and shake hands.
Hug and
Groovy. I love it. Oh my gosh, and I'm so grateful that it's so groovy and people are getting together. So I'm going to go ahead and play my final song for the day. Then afterwards, please, if you'd like to remain and have it, we have an open hour after this. And it's great if you want to stay and socialize. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just put on some music and let everyone just chat on the board if they want to. So here's my final song, and this is a Karen Drucker song, which I love. It's beautiful, and here we go.
I remember who I am, letting fear and worry fall away from me. I open my eyes and see there is only when it seems I've lost my way.
Blessings upon you all. Go forth and live in love and trust. And I feel complete for the day. I love you all. And great gratitude. Thank you, Bill. All right, I'm going to turn off the recording.